Morning again, everybody. Morning to all our campuses, Prosper, Louisville, and Dallas. Thanks so much for being with us on today. All the other campuses, including Plano, I want you to realize that Prosper was supposed to have their test service in their new campus today, and little did we know that the city of Prosper goes on sometimes long vacations over Labor Day weekend. So the guys that were supposed to take all the tests and give us the approval for the building, they said they were on vacation. So anyways, we're meeting in the school, and let's hear it for Prosper, everybody. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Praise the Lord. We will count it all joy when we go through a little bit of trials. Praise God, we had a place to meet somebody. But hopefully and prayerfully, if you pray and I pray and all of us pray, we'll be in there next week, and we'll only have 1 week to try it before our grand opening. But it does not matter. Are you kidding me? We will not complain. We're going into a new facility. Come on, somebody. Let's give it up to God for that. Woo! I'm going to pray here in a moment, and then I'm going to read Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, and we're all going to stand in a moment and do that. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to know that you care so deeply about us, not only collectively, but even more importantly, personally. Thank you for the fact that you're a personal God. Now, as we tee up the Word of God, will you prepare our hearts to receive what you're about to say? It's critical and it's vital. Will you help us in our transformation to become more like you on today? We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Will you stand with me? Let's read Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And then let's get on our way on today. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Everybody read it with me as loud as you can. All campuses, Dallas, Prosper, Louisville. Everybody reading together. Here we go. Concerning... Ooh, say this phrase with me. You're going to say it two times. Since you have become of... One more time. Since you have become... We're going to see how it's used in other parts of the scriptures here in a minute and understand the nuances of the both the word dull and the word hearing in its original context here in a minute. Verse number 12. Here we go. For you ought to be teachers. You have... Again, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. My. If I had it my way, I would have had diapers in under everybody's seat and at some point ask you, are you still drinking milk even though you've been in church for 20 years? Are you still? I'd say, put your diapers on right now. But the staff thought it better for me to save the money and not do that. All right. Here we go. Verse number 13. Here we go. For everyone who... For he is an...
Come on.
We got any infants in the house? You've been in church for a long time, but you can't go to the deeper things of the Word of God. You've been in church for a long time, but if I ask you to find, Proverbs, you can't find it. You've been in church a long time, but if I ask you to find Matthew, you can't find it.
Come on.
Notice I didn't even say Malachi. I didn't say any of that. I'm just staying basic. I'm just saying, you can't even find it. You've been in church a long time, and the last time you read your Bible was last Sunday when we read it. Here we go. Verse number 14. Here we go. But solid is for the... Who because of... Stay right there. Who because of...
Practice.
Two more times. Who because of...
Practice.
Last time, who because of...
Practice.
Here's what they've done. They have senses... Stop right there. My natural impulse have changed. Before I'd cuss you out when you cut me off. Oh, but because of feeding from the Word of God, but not just intellectually, but applying it daily. When I hear the word, I don't simply hear it and do nothing with it. Every time I hear it, I put it into practice. That's why the guy who used to cut me off used to get one of my fingers. But on today, he gets a prayer. But that's only because of practice. Over and over and over again. Thank you for the word, God. I'm delighted about the word, God. I can't wait to put it in good use, God. I'm just reading what the Bible says. They have their senses. Here we go. Not to discern the Ten Commandments. Everybody know that. Everybody know the Ten Commandments. You still living out. That's the problem. Many of us still struggling with the Ten Commandments. So the devil don't even have to fool with you about good and evil because the obvious things you still doing. I haven't started yet. This is just the preamble. Train to discern good and two more times. We've been practice, have their senses trained to discern good and last time. Train to discern. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm going from here to Waxahachie, it might take me about 45 minutes to an hour to get there. Rate times how far I'm going will determine how long it take for me to get there. If I say and I decide to walk to Waxahachie, it'll be about September 15th before I get there. If you decide to drive to Waxahachie, oh, you'll get there, depending on traffic, in about 45 minutes to an hour. The problem we face today in churches all over this world is that we've had Christians that have been in church for a long time, and yet still there has been no growth and development in their lives. And that's because they're not practicing what they hear whenever they come to church. They're not practicing what they hear when they go in their closet and spend their own time with God. They're not. It's good intellectual information, but it's not getting to the heart level. And today I want to address this thing called formation. How do we grow in our faith? How do we develop into mature believers? How do we look more like Jesus Christ? How do we say no to ourselves so we can say yes to Jesus? Because for far too long, we've had too many Christians who are grown up physically, but babes spiritually. You see, it's one thing to see a one-year-old or a two-year-old playing dirt and get their face all dirty and their clothes all dirty. It's one thing to see that. And we like, that's cute. Oh, but if you see a 30-year-old man playing around in dirt, and if you applaud him on the sidelines of playing around in dirt, both you and him got a disease and you don't even know it. I want to start today by reading you just one statistic that I think the Barna Group has done that communicates where we are as a culture. Here's what it says. It says 86% of people in this world believe to be fulfilled in life, you should pursue what you want. That is your desires. Whatever you want, you should go after. 86% of the world think so. Well, if you want to be fulfilled, what you must do is you must go after what you want. Now, here's what's even worse. 72% of Christians believe that same thing. Here's what they don't realize, that all of that is born out of the Enlightenment age. Remember, we're in a series. This is the third message in the series that we're in. As far as how does the church handle a polarized environment? How do we show compelling love in a polarized environment? What we don't realize is that we're living in an age of contradiction that was birthed out of the age of Enlightenment. The age of Enlightenment promise that we should and we can become all who we are supposed to be. We ought to get the shackles off of the kings that were over us. We ought to get the shackles off of the priests that were over us. That's what the Enlightenment said. And we should pursue the perfect us. That's what it said. This is born out of it, which is why you have today so many people wanting to show their perfect side. Because they're in for, I'm going to do me, I'm going to be me, I'm going to be the perfect me. And they don't even realize where it's coming from. Come on. That's why you today say, well, everybody thinks they got a good side. Because when you're taking a picture on social media, you know your good side. So you be like, this is my cute side. That's because everybody wants to be perfect. This comes from the Enlightenment era, and this is huge. I'm going to show you the two models the world tees up that's infecting everything we do today, and we don't even realize it. That's because we're not students of history, and we don't realize what's happening behind the curtain that's trying to influence you. You just think, woo, this feels great, and you don't have any clue what's influencing you. So go to your notes. Let me give you two things. Two models that are influencing you and you don't even know it. Two models of formation. How do we become better? How do we become all Christians would call all that God has called you to be? And these two models influence. If you don't have a note sheet, raise your hand at any of our campuses and somebody will come by and give you one. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to get this. This is profoundly important in your spiritual development. Because it's impacting all of us. It's impacted me this morning, and I'm going to show you how in a minute. There are two models of formation. What is formation? Formation is how do we grow? How do we develop? The culture, the world is asking the question, how do we develop? How do we become better? How do we become great at what we do? Here we go. On the psychology side, the positive psychology side, the goal is human happiness. Ah, the path is human self-knowledge or insight into yourself. The purpose is the pursuit of one's path. That's it. What's the world asking us if you go down this phase? It's asking us to pursue happiness. I've told you many times, the reason many of you get married is to be happy. The reason many of you get a divorce is to be happy. You don't even know it. But this is driving everything you do. Everything you do is being driven by a psychological mindset and model of formation. No, I'm not talking against psychology because I do think that the core essence of it is to create healing for you. But when you do this in the absence of this, then you've got some big problems. So you got to be careful because in the background of your life, lingering behind everything you do is a little goal that says you ought to be happy. You ought to be happy. You ought not to put up with this. You ought to be happy. You ought not to do this. You ought to be happy. And you don't even realize that it's influencing everything you're doing. Even if the Bible says contrary to it, you don't like it. That's why when the Bible says count it all joy, you be like, no, I'm trying to get rid of it so I can be happy. Be careful, One Community Church, because I'm telling you, this is operating in the background of your life. Watch this. It's operating in the background of how you train your kids. You don't even want your kids to hurt, and your kids cannot hurt, because if they hurt, that means they're not happy. And I'll give them anything you want. You want a lollipop? Take it. Be happy. You want a candy? Take it. Be happy. You want a bike? Take it. You want a car? Because I cannot stand when you're not happy. And you don't even realize it, but something is influencing you. But not just the psychological approach. There's also the technocratic approach. These are in a culture right now. They're working in the background of your life right now. Number two, watch this one. Ooh, 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 ooh. Most of you struggle with this one. Most of you struggle with both of them, but this one? The technocratical model argues that the goal is effectiveness. It comes out of a business model to achieve higher effectiveness. So when you go to business school, they want to show you how to identify problems and solve problems because we care about effectiveness. When you go to medical school, they want to show you how to identify it and then fix it and then heal somebody. So you've mastered the art of skill. Why? Because they want you to have maximum effectiveness. What's behind it? They want you to perfect who you are. Notice who's not in the picture. God. You don't even realize it's impacting you. Here we go. So not only that, here's the path to get it. Hey, you got to cultivate skill. Parents, most of you, like me, focus so much on education and so little on God. No wonder we raise kids that want to master knowledge, just not Bible knowledge. And you wonder why. You taught it to them. You No. I got more degrees than everybody in here put together. I don't. But anyways, I got a lot. So I'm not dogging effectiveness and trying to get there. All I'm trying to suggest is you better reorder and reorient the world around what God's going to say in the next column. Here we go, number three. The last one. What's the purpose? To become the best at what you do, regardless of the cost. So how can we be a faithful presence of love in a cultist? This is so important. How can we be a faithful presence of love if what you care about is being happy? How can you be a faithful presence of love, which is what he's calling us to do as a church, if all you care about is effectiveness? Here's the problem. If all you care about is happiness, when the person that you're interacting with don't make you happy anymore, then you don't care about them. You only care about you. That's why we got so many wars around here. When all you care about is effectiveness and how do I make it just right and how do I get the advantage over the competition and how do I get the advantage over my peer and how do I do all you care about, then you cannot be a faithful presence of love because your bottom line is not love. Your bottom line is you wanting to be happy and you wanting to be effective. That's the danger. That's why you can't celebrate when your coworker get a promotion because you care too much about effectiveness. That's why God is trying to preach to you and tell you, count it all joy. But the reason you can't count it all joy is because in the background of your life, right over here, is something called effectiveness. You should have got it. 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 In the background of your life is, you must be happy. You must be happy. They're not making you happy. Leave them. Divorce them. Tell them you're done. They're not making you happy. That's because you're following the world priorities and not God's priorities. What does God say you ought to do? God said the primary driver is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. The thing that should drive your life, the thing that you ought to orient your whole life toward is loving God and loving your neighbor. He says, how do we get there? This is so very important. He says, you get there by the cultivation of practices. The reason you have so many immature Christians in our world that simply co-sign with God and say, I'm good. Now that I leave church, I can go buck wild and do what I want to do. The reason for that is because you don't practice the habits that have shaped all of Christianity. We don't even know some of them. And so because we don't know them, we don't take time to be contemplative. We don't even take time to do. We don't even take time to process what's going on in our hearts. We don't even take time to watch our tongue. We don't even take time to do that because you're so driven by effectiveness. Slowing down says somebody might get ahead of you. So I don't want to stop and reflect because somebody might get ahead of me. In other words, you're saying, God, you need me so much to do what I need to do. I'm not going to take off because if I take off, somebody might get ahead of me, which means you controlling the whole thing. You don't even realize you're a control freak. Because of these two lingering in the backgrounds of our life. But instead, make God's name famous is the purpose, and being the presence of love. But you cannot be the presence of love in a diverse environment unless you practice the habits of love. Look at the bottom of your sheet. Let me show you the habits now. Here's what you should be practicing. Here's what should be normal in your life. It should be normal for you to know, Romans chapter 12, that you ought to be careful so that you are, your mind is being renewed daily so it can be transformed. But if you never stop long enough to reflect, if you don't adjust your calendar so you can think every now and again, what's going on in my mind? Then how do you grow in Christ? You'll always remain a baby because you don't even pay attention to what's going on. An unexamined life is not worth living. But yet still we go through life because of our effectiveness and our happiness, never pondering and examine what the heck is going on in my heart and in my mind. We go from the heart, from the mind to the heart. Are you seeking God through prayer? Are you guarding what goes in your mind, in your heart? Are you guarding what you long for? Are you stopping and saying, you know what, God, this next 6 months, I'm not going on any dating sites because I want that too much. I want a man or a woman more than I want you. And there's something wrong with that because if I'm going to love you more than I love myself and if I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, then I've got to make sure nothing comes in the way of you. And if it does, I need to starve my heart until you become priority again. That's why you make stupid decisions and you can't discern good from evil because you long for something so much, you've left God out. This is huge, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't guard your heart, if you don't monitor what's going on here, it's only a matter of time before you feel pain. And the pain is going to come from the fact that you chose evil and not good. Then after that, your speech, this one all of us need to practice. James tell you, how can you worship God yet cuss out your brother? But this happens all the time. You're not even cussing out your brother, you're cussing out your spouse. And if you don't cuss them out audibly with your mouth, you're doing it in your mind. Some of you think you're so sophisticated. I don't do that. You just do it in your mind. You got to learn the ways of silence. Sometimes you need to say to yourself, today I'm going to go through the whole day without talking. Try it one day. You're going to go crazy. But it will be good for your soul. Teach yourself that every time something comes to your mind, you don't have to say it. Train yourself to do it. Every time something comes to your mind, you don't have to let it blurt out. Train yourself in godliness. Next verse, next three. The next one says, your body. When's the last time you watched what you ate? You ever notice what you put in your body?
Yes.
When was the last time you're caring about how much you're putting on yourself? Self-care. When was the last time you demonstrated a little bit of self-control? I know I can have it, but I'm choosing not to. Because I want to prove to the Spirit of God that it has more control over me than I have over my own body. And so I'm not just going to do it because I can. I'm not just going to do it because I have freedom. I'm going to discipline myself through the practice on today, no social media. Some of you will be keel over. No social media. You go, what? But my friends, how they gonna know what I'm doing? That's the problem. Anyways, come on, I gotta go. Your friendships. Some of you don't know how to begin intimacy. Some of you don't know that you're running with the wrong people. And you need to know if somebody's not running after God, then why do they have so much influence over you? I've talked about this all the time. The problem with the church is that we love the world too much. That's why you boldly declare. Listen. That's why you boldly declare when you go into the club. That's why you boldly dress cray-cray going to the club. And if a brother or a sister rebuke you, you talking about, let me unfriend you. All the person's trying to do is get you to walk with Jesus. It's not that you can't go. Is that if you go, listen, your heart does not get stirred with affections toward God. It's the freedom. That's why I know you're still in diapers and you have not moved on, matured, to me. Service, learning to grow in work and rest and let God govern these things. That's why the whole series, ladies, I'm just telling you, ladies, if you ain't never been to Bible study, this Wednesday, you need to come. I'm just going to come at 6:30 though, because I don't know. If it's like last week, you're parking over at Target. For real. By the way, one shout out to the men. Men, we had more men at Bible study last Wednesday than we've ever had before. Come on, brothers. Come on, man. I see you, brothers. I see you. But JD is talking about rest in her Bible study series. She's talking about the Sabbath. Now, here's all the Sabbath. The Sabbath says, God, I need to remind myself that you are the one that produces, not me. So even while I rest, you're still working, and I'm not going to fool myself to believe that I need to keep working because somebody might pass me out. Chick-fil-A can do more in 6 days than Popeyes can do in 7. I'm going to leave that alone. Let's move on. Come on with me. Come on. See, the problem is that many of you, without knowing it, are walking around with a filter in your life that says, I want to be happy. And everything you do is colored by that. Everything. Well, I want pizza today. It'll make me feel happy. So you go get pizza. Today, I think I should get a promotion. So if I don't get one, I'm leaving this job because I want to be happy. I want my kids to be happy, so I'm going to give them what they want. That's what you want? Okay, if you do 2 more homework sheets, I'll give you whatever you want. Because after all, the goal in life is for you to be happy. No, that's not what your mama taught you. But you done got a little bit of money and a little bit of change, so all of a sudden now you think, let me give him what I could not get. Yes. As if what you didn't get is not what forged your character for you to be where you are today. You see, others of you, the way you got here is you're so good, so you decided, listen, I'm going to be the most effective person on the planet. So now you be like, I want to be happy and I want to be effective. Now, you don't care about the word of God. You don't care about what God's word says. You don't care about anything. You just be like, listen, if I'm going to make it out in these streets, I'm finna be effective and I'm finna be happy. Too long I've been sacrificing. I didn't work so hard. I'm going to make myself happy. So every so often, I'm going to go on the biggest vacation, show it off all on social media so somebody can believe that you're happy when you're really sad, but you're trying to mask it with a vacation. Instead, what God says, everything in your life ought to be filtered through loving God and loving people. So he says, I want you to love me with all your heart, and I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. You should reorient your entire life around this. Can I show you what church people do? On Sundays, this church people, they'll be like, listen, I need Jesus. I need him. So let me go to church. And you put this on. As soon as you walk through them doors, right? I mean, you're not through the doors of the church. You just walk through the doors. The back doors of Dallas, the back doors of Louisville, the back doors of Prosper. Yeah. And then you do this. Listen. Now let's get to the real world. Yes. I want to be happy, so therefore that's what matters. So let's make sure I'm happy. Everybody, make sure I'm happy. I want to determine where I eat. I don't care about y'all. Kids, you ain't grown yet. I determine what we eat because I care about me. And then when the bottom drops out, you'll be like, oh, Lord, Jesus, I need you, Lord. I need thee, oh, I need thee. That's so crazy, church people. Look, that's because your priority is not God. Your priority is effectiveness and happiness, not love the Lord your God with all your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, You ought to make sure you take these off. Make sure you orient your whole world around loving God and loving people. That's what he says. Let's move on then. How do we get there? I got a far way to go. How do we get there? Let's go to the text and support. What I did a while ago was I showed you the psychological side and I showed you the technocratic side. Now I want to show you what God's word says. Turn your page over if you don't mind. And let me show you the problem that we often face. It's found in Hebrews chapter 5. The text says, concerning him, that is Melchizedek, I can't teach you about him. By the way, the great thing about that context is I can't teach you about giving because you still think it's all your money.
Come on.
This church wouldn't have one problem, wouldn't have to ever talk about money if everybody simply obeyed God. Ever. We'd have it so we can do what we do. But he can't even talk to you about giving. I can't even talk to you about giving. That's when you get mad and leave when you talk about giving. Because you think it's all yours. Why? Because you care about happiness and you care about your own success and you care about making sure your house is all decked out. More than anything God wants to do. But that's not the point, because that's why he gone silent a while ago. See that? Just talk about money. All you got to do is say, money. And everybody be like, oh. Come on. We have much to say about money. And it is hard to explain. Why? Since you have become dull of hearing. Now, whenever you want to understand a word and what it means, then you have to look at how the author uses it in other contexts. So let's see how he's used the word dull in another environment and the word hearing in another environment. Let's tee up Hebrews chapter 4 and then Hebrews chapter 6. 4:2 and then 6:12. 4:2 says this. Listen, watch for the word. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they it did not profit them. Word heard, word they heard, hearing. The word they heard, same word, did not profit them. In other words, they heard the word, they heard the Bible taught, they heard the good news of Jesus, they heard it, but they thought to themselves, that's of no benefit to me. You do it all the time. I heard it, but I can do better. I can do me. Come over now to Hebrews chapter 6. One context, let's look at the word dullness. Hebrews chapter 6, run about verse 12. Here's what it says. Here we go. Listen, same word, dull. Everybody say dull. Two more times, dull. Say the word lazy. Same word. Here we go. So that you will not be, say it with me, sluggish. But, not sluggish, not lazy, not dull of hearing when you hear the word, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So look at your notes now. Let's walk through it. Here's what he says. You have the good news. It goes to your ears. Intellectually, you're listening. Then it goes to your heart. But when it gets to your heart, it notices that it's a hard surface and it's not absorbed. So because it's not absorbed, it meets dullness, slowness, harshness. It does not respond. Therefore, it walks in disobedience. Therefore, it walks in unbelief. James, I talked about it earlier, said, count it all joy when you go through drama. Every time you go through drama, you should be saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for what you have allowed, because I know you're up to something great in my life. The reason you complain, you gripe, and you fuss, and you cuss when you go through trials is because you don't understand God's word. Okay, let me show you what I mean. Some of you acting a fool again. Let me show you what I mean. You come to church, and you hear the word of God. You heard the will. You heard the word of God. So you come to church. Come here, Dallas. Come here, Louisville. Come here. You heard the word of God. So this is you. This is you. Count it all joy. And when you meet the trial, you decide, I don't want to swallow that. I want to do what I want to do. So I'm going to fuss at you. I'm supposed to say, Lord, I don't understand it. But I know you're up to something. You're trying to teach me patience. You're trying to teach me endurance. But you got the word in church. You got the word from your time with God. I'm not going to apply the word. Instead, I'm going to do what I've always done, walk in the flesh. Every single time you go to church and you meet a scenario and you don't apply God's word to it, what you're doing, immature person, what you're doing, diaper-wearing adult, is you're taking in the word. And spitting it all out. That's what you're doing. I need to wipe my chin, don't I? Anything else? All right, I'm good. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what you do when you're not walking with God. You've been in church forever, and you know the word, and you're still living according to the flesh. That's because when you get the milk of the word, listen, you can't go from milk to meat and become mature. You can't do that. You have to learn to intake the milk, digest the milk, so that you can develop the spiritual muscles called faith, so that then you can walk in righteousness. You can't go from milk to meat. You got to learn that you ought to do the right thing with the milk over and over and over and over again before now I can start giving you a little bit of meat. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I, God says, will hear from heaven and I'll ultimately heal their land. Here's what he didn't say. If my people who are called by my name will talk bad about Donald Trump, preach, pastor. That's not what he said. He said, if you will humble yourself and get to your doggone knees and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. But instead, we love to go on social media and talk about, I can't believe he's such a fool. I can't believe. So you heard the word. Don't sugarcoat it. That's exactly what you do. Every single time. You hear the word, but you don't do nothing about it. Because everybody else, all your other friends, are talking and sharing their thoughts about whatever foolishness just happened. You don't even know that God says, go to your knees and pray for the person. Yes. Come on, church. We're not like the world. Yes. We're called to a higher standard. We don't just do what everybody else does as if we don't have a Bible that we need to apply and live out. Come on, man. That's what we do. That is the reason why you're still on milk and you haven't gone to the meat of the word. That's why you're still immature, because your political persuasion is more important than your biblical ideology and your identity in Christ. That's why so many of you struggle with it. You struggle with your blackness because your blackness comes before your Christ-likeness. Your Republican or your Democratic persuasion comes before God. And you think, I'm grown in Christ. Let me remind you of something that you don't really like, and you might walk out on this one. Here we go. If God allowed him there, God wanted him there. Because Romans chapter 13 says, I appoint them. Yes. Yes. So now you got a problem with God. Here's all I'm saying. He can see a little further than you can. Yes. Just realize, he can see a little further than you can. So I would much rather trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on what I can see. But in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you. And you will direct this country's path. I'm not worried about Donald Trump. As I said last week, he's going to be a footnote in history, and Jesus is still going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what you worried about? What's wrong with you? Come on, everybody. It's time for us to trust Jesus. Come on, family. We know that. Turn the page over, because you're going to say I need to be finished before this next service come in here. So here we go. Real quick. Hey, somebody mad. Lighten up. Trust Jesus. Somebody mad right now. Lighten up. Look at your neighbor and say, trust Jesus. He got it. He got it. He got it. He got it. Here we go. Here we go. Turn the page over to the good news. All of it. It starts with good news. Here's what it looks like when you're mature. Verse number 14. Let's go to verse 14 first so you can see, so you know. Here's what it looks like when you're mature. This is huge. But solid food is for the mature, who because of their practice have their senses trained to discern. I know where I should go and where I shouldn't because of what I care about. Good and evil. Listen now, listen now, listen now, listen. Here's what he says. What he says now is, when you see, you go to church, you're at home, you're trying to pull off your stuff, you're trying to spend some time with Jesus. He says, whenever you come to church, there should be an excitement. Whenever you go to your closet, there should be an excitement about the word. You can't wait. You're like a hungry baby who can't wait for that milk. That when they hold on to that bottle, they're going to suck for life. So you ought to be excited about the word. I can't wait to see what God's going to put in my spirit so I can go apply it. So when you see, you remember when you see, when the baby see the mama coming with some milk. You know why? Because they know the word gives life. So if your spirit, your heart is not warm and eager to receive the word daily, then it's a sign you're immature. If you can't wait to absorb this thing and get as much of it as you can, because it's as you savor it, as you drink it, as you are satisfied by it. Turn to the back of the page. Let me show you something. Back of the handout. I want you to watch this. You drink the milk, and so you diligently apply it to your heart and mind. Drink the milk. See, everybody see with me? Drink the milk. Go to the next one, next chart. You drink the milk, and then from the milk, then you savor it. You swallow it, and you're satisfied with the milk of the word. And what do? Then you learn to love what you once hated. That's how you know you're going to love it. Because the stuff you used to hate, the husband you couldn't stand, all of a sudden now you're seeing it through love God and love your neighbor. Now, what you once hated when you went to bed at night,
come on.
You got up going to your word and you say, no, Lord, forgive me because I've done the same thing to you as he has done to me or she has done to me. So I'm going, just like you forgave me this morning, God, I'm going to forgive them and go love them the way I'm supposed to, because the word got infected in my heart. And because it did, God, I am a transformed person. And therefore, God, now it's transforming my values and my priorities. I don't care about my happiness as much anymore. I don't care about effectiveness as much anymore. I now care about the person you have sitting beside me in this place. Now my heart is satisfied with God. And listen, once my heart is satisfied on the word, this is how you earn the right to eat meat. Once my heart is satisfied, now I can discern the difference between good and evil. The reason I can now is simply because now that I am satisfied with God, I'm not looking at life from my perspective, happiness, from my perspective, effectiveness. I'm now looking at it from God. How do I flourish with you at the center of my life? That's why when you meet somebody you don't like, you can love them. That's why you can be the presence of love in a polarized environment. Because they wouldn't do it like me, but the reason I can love them is because God loves me. I'm not always perfect, and he still loves me. Therefore, when they're not perfect, I get to still love them. That's why it doesn't matter who you're interacting with. If you're spiritually mature, you can take. You think Jesus didn't know that he was going to get up in 3 days? You think he didn't know when they were spitting in his face? You think, you know why he could handle all of that? Because he practiced. He was with the Father every day, spending time with the Father. God, is there any way? Not my will, but your will be done. I will not be driven by happiness. I'll be driven by your purpose for my life. That's the reason why he can do it. Go back now over to the other page. Let me show you the rest of it. Verse, here's what it says. It says, amen. And from the good news to the ears, from the ears to the heart, the heart receives it warm and is open. It embraces assurance of hope. Now you can become imitators. What does that mean? You can become mature. You can now start modeling the fruit of the Spirit. You can now have the mind of Christ. But that comes from an openness toward the Word of God. Let's keep going. So then from there you go to after imitators. Now you can develop your faith muscles. Now you can trust God when you can't see. Now you're not living by sight. You're living by faith. Now you can say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The reason I can trust you is because I believe you. Because by faith, I know you can do more than I can ever imagine.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Which is why now you show the fruit of the Spirit. Now I can be patient with my enemies. Because I'm not trusting me and what I can't see. I'm trusting the one who's protecting me. That's why I can deliver and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit and be patient with people. That's why now I can inherit the promises of God and be the faithful presence of love in the midst of a polarized environment. One community church, I am telling you, if you keep going the way the church has gone, churches all across the world are going to be ineffective. I gave you the whole ship. When the culture was going with us, then it was great. But the winds have changed, and the culture is not going against us. And the only way to effectively minister in a post-Christian world is when you become the presence of love in a polarized environment. You can't become the presence of love if you care about happiness. You cannot become the presence of love if you only care about effectiveness. You have to reorder your life around, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul and with all my mind and all my strength. And I will love my neighbor as myself. One community church, let me remind you something. If you're not careful, the next generation will be worse than we are. Because if we don't model it for them, it won't be modeled. You know what I care about more than anything else? As I looked at my behavior over the summer, you know what I cared about more? Education. I taught my son more mathematics than teachers teach him in 2 years. You ought to ask me, did I help him memorize scripture more than teachers would have taught him in 2 years? As I was reading this, I'm like, what am I creating? Am I communicating to him that only education matters? Because I'm from a third world country, so I know education is important. Or am I teaching? Hey. My mama didn't do that with me. And I turned out all right.
That's right.
Here's what they did teach me. Oh, you're going to know the Bible. And you don't know what Jesus stands for. And I'm going to let him determine the rest. Now, I know one of you doctors out there said, well, you better make sure they know the... I agree with you. But not if you're not teaching the Word of God, and if you're not passionate about the Word of God and about your relationship with Jesus, more than you are education. So step your game. You want to keep teaching all the other good educational stuff? You want to keep going to the library and make sure you're there in the morning and you shut the library down? Okay, cool. No problem. Just make sure when it comes to the Word of God, everywhere you drive, you're teaching that kid of yours, that student of yours, that adult kid of yours. You're reminding them of the significance of hiding God's word in your heart so that you might not sin against him. Father, will you teach us afresh how to be the presence of love in a polarized environment? Will you make us all aware as the motors that are driving us behind the curtains, whether that's happiness or success, or effectiveness? Will you expose our hearts today? And then God, if we still love milk too much, and if we're still puking it out after we take it in, will you help us today to crave it, give us an insatiable desire for your word, so that when it comes to us, we receive it with joy, so that we take time to apply it, so that we can produce the fruit of patience, the acts of righteousness. Not because that's the product, that is the byproduct of our relationship with you. Help us to love you more and more. Help us to discern good from evil, so that we might become wise in our decision making. Will you teach this body of believers to do that, please? So that we can make the name of God famous, because we are the presence of love in the absences of the world. Will you teach us when to slow down and take care of the Samaritans in our presence? Will you teach us when to speed up to make sure that our families are taken care of? Will you teach us wisdom so we can make the right decisions and not experience the pains of poor decision making? Thanks for the opportunity to tee up good food for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said? Will you give God a round of applause, everybody? Stay right where you are. Yeah. Don't move yet. Don't move just yet. Don't move just yet. If you're here today and you want somebody to pray about you in this, for you in this area of the happiness and the tension of effectiveness, then everybody else is going out, just come on down. Number two, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to consider that when everybody else is going out, you just come on down. We'd love to talk to you about that. If you're here today and you want to join our church, you want to come back home, you feel that this is what you ought to do at this season of your life, then when everybody else is going out, just come on down. We'll stay here as long as we need to, just to make sure you're heard and you're prayed with. If you're here today and you just want somebody to pray with you because you're going through a storm, when everybody else is going out, you just come on down. Nothing is more important to us than making sure you are connected with and prayed with for the glory of God. Now, one family, will you go represent your King well? Will you go represent Jesus well? When he calls on you to love your neighbor, will you put aside happiness and will you put aside effectiveness? And will you be the presence of love, the invisible representation, the visible representation of the invisible Christ? Will you go do that this week? Go rep your King well. Thanks for being here. You're dismissed. Thanks, everybody.